Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High, at Cana you revealed your glory as you changed water into the very best wine. Now you demonstrate your passion and zeal for your Father's house. May we be filled with the same passion and zeal for the things of the Lord. May we be aware of this place is a holy place and worship you as eternal Lord over all. Living God, make your presence known. Father, fill this place with your presence now. As we worship you along with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Amen. We left off last week with the very best wine. The first sign revealing the glory that is in Jesus. The effect on his disciples caused them to put their faith in him. Their eyes had seen what happened, and very likely their lips tasted how especially satisfying the wine was, knowing that the water wondrously became the most excellent wine. Disciples witnessed Jesus' act of creative power, helping them to see Jesus as one who comes from God. Do not overlook that this first sign, this first miracle took place at a wedding feast, an event honoring what God established in creation, the covenant of marriage between husband and wife, the first covenant by God is the place of the first miracle, revealing the glory that is in Christ Jesus. Now tie that together with the New Testament writings. The image of marriage signifies the union between Christ and his church. And the Holy Scriptures commend marriage to be honored among all people. And this is where the first sign, that first miracle of Jesus took place, was at a wedding. This is theologically important for you to remember. From Cana, they traveled to Capernaum to stay for a few days. Jesus' family travels together with the disciples, Mary, his mother, and Jesus' brothers are traveling with him. Now, John here doesn't mention anything about Jesus' sisters. The group arrives in Capernaum a little before the Passover, and Capernaum is on the north side of the Sea of Galilee, about 85 miles north of Jerusalem. It would take several days to travel from Capernaum to Jerusalem. Can you imagine walking that distance? Passover is a very important festival. Passover is one of the three major Jewish festivals when God commanded all the Israelite men to appear before the Lord at the place the Lord chose. At this time in Israel, the place was the temple in Jerusalem. Picture this. Picture it in your mind. People, mostly men, coming from all directions, from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west, all different directions, men and others, this group after group after group converging on Jerusalem, streaming into Jerusalem, group after group filling the city, bursting to the seams, all to celebrate the mighty deliverance by the hand of God from Egypt. A holy time. A time that identifies the people of Israel as God's chosen people. delivered by God to be God's treasured possession. This is a very special time. Focus on the Lord God and the mighty deliverance. Over time, practices have come to be that have turned the focus away from the worship of God. For the convenience of the travelers, the pilgrims, they could buy whatever they needed. No more driving or carrying of the animals you would need for sacrifice as you walked your way to Jerusalem. Carry the coins and buy what you need, for all the animals for sacrifice are available at the temple. Animals that had been selected, examined, and approved for temple sacrifice. Incense, oil, everything else needed for temple offerings for worship were available. Passover was big business. And into the middle came the brokers, also known as money changers. When Martin Luther traveled to Rome, he saw firsthand what the place had become. It shook his faith. Rome, for Luther, was the place of the Holy Father, the place where worship should be most pure in form. And it was so filled with so many things that tore at Luther's heart. The sights that he saw in Rome sent Luther on the journey that began the Reformation. In Jerusalem, commotion of the crowds, cacophony of the animals, clanging of the coins of the money changers, pushing and shoving and everything that happens in large crowds pressing forward, an atmosphere far from what would lead a heart to sense the magnitude of the moment and bring to mind the great and mighty power of God that delivered Israel. Hustle and hassle, hardly a heart ready to worship in the pilgrims coming and the money changers, the animal sellers, bickering as the bartering goes back and forth to make the most money. All the activities that belong in the marketplace had crept into the temple of the living God. As you come to church, are you preparing your heart to hear from God? Are you preparing yourself to encounter the very presence of God? As I was growing up, I recall Sunday mornings could often turn into being one of the most hectic moments of the week. Four kids getting ready for church, all dressed in the Sunday best. Yes, I had to do that as I was growing up. Oh, you should see pictures of some of the suits I had to wear. And you know those classic clip-on ties? Hair and teeth brushed. The tensions would rise. Where's my shoes? I don't have a shirt to wear. And you know the litany that children could come up with at any moment. And you know children can't find things that are right before their eyes. Tempers would sometimes be short. In one way or another, everyone has experienced a Sunday morning before church like that, or at least similar. And after those types of emotion, honestly, it's hard to focus on the main thing, which is coming here to worship God and encounter the presence of the living God. Jesus comes to Jerusalem. He has been there many times before for Passover. The scriptures tell us as Jesus was growing up, his parents went every year to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When he was 12, the scriptures tell us Jesus hung around afterwards. And he was found in the temple courts with the teachers, listening and asking questions. And amazing everyone with answers and demonstrations of his understanding. When Jesus' parents found him, he answered his parents, "Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house?" Jesus has experienced the commotion of that temple many times before. But this time will be different. Jesus' time has come to reveal who he is. At Cana, Jesus revealed his glory and the miracle of water to wine. Disciples were following and putting their faith in him. Now is the time to do something about what has taken place to the temple. Now is the time to return hearts to what is most important, worship and prayer. Entering into the courts of the temple area, picking up cords as he walks, beginning to weave them together in a braid. Righteousness for the holy things of God. The sacred honor of the Father builds in intensity. Zeal increases in fervor, and like a volcano ready to burst forth till all things explode. Tables go flying. Animals are scattered. Coins go through the air and making that sound as they fall on the tile floors. Everything commotion, and all of a sudden, this madman whipping around, whirling things. Get out of here. The time had come to clear the temple. All attention started turning to this man whizzing that whip, driving people out. This is no tame Jesus that everyone likes to imagine. There is muscle moving and tossing those tables. A carpenter's strength with arm muscles rippling as the things explode, flying, and that whip goes about. Releasing the sheep, releasing the doves flying off, the sheep running apart, cows, all that thing, commotion. Get out of here! How dare you turn my Father's house into a market? And on Jesus moves, clearing out the crowd. And the temple guards notice what is happening. Rushing to the temple leaders, they all then come back and they surround Jesus, keeping their distance from the whirling whip. The temple leaders demand, "By what authority do you do this? What sign will you give? Prove your authority. Give us a sign." The marketplace had taken over what was to be holy. Business concerns turned away from attention that belongs only to the one true living God. The place where Israelites were to go to repent and offer sacrifices and burnt offerings. The place where they were to go and gather in celebration and reverential awe. The temple where the most holy place, the dwelling of God, was present. By the actions of Israelites, that place had become a marketplace, convenience for the pilgrim became more important than the holy reason for the pilgrimage in the first place. Beware. Beware. Calls for convenience are often calls away from God. Let that sink in. Calls for convenience are often calls away from God. Beware if you are looking for convenience in your faith journey. Your eyes may be turning away from God. The Jewish leaders asked for a sign. Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it again in 3 days." 3 days? It took 46 years to build this temple, the leaders responded. But Jesus was giving a testimony, making very clear the purpose. And the temple leaders could not hear, could not understand. At this time of Passover, remember, Jesus is the Lamb of God. This time of Passover, Jesus is making very clear the reason he has come, to die for the sins of the world. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it in 3 days. The Apostle John writes in John chapter 2, verses 21 and 22, that reflective testimony. But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words Jesus had spoken. Jesus is the crucified and risen one. And John's gospel shows the hearer and the reader that Jesus does indeed have the authority to clear the temple area, the authority to tell the people that this is his Father's house. The disciples recalled all this, and their faith was built up. The scripture and the words Jesus spoke were shown to be truth. This is the Father's house. Matthew, Mark, and Luke write, "My house," meaning the Father's house, "will be called a house of prayer." Since we don't have money changers or sheep or doves or even cattle clogging the hallway as we walk in, I ask myself how to apply this in today's world. In what ways, if any, have we forgotten that this is the Father's house? What are things that interfere with what the Lord intends to happen here in our hearts? I have these suggestions from experience. Entertainment. We seek entertainment. Everything must entertain. The sermon, the music, all these things, they must be polished and professional, and then add in all those whiz-bang special effects like a concert. The remedy. The remedy. Come, seeking more and more and deeper faith through theological instruction from the Word of God. Seeking faith from the Word of God. Perhaps this one, power plays. Our grandparents built this church. We built this church. We are the largest givers. What we say, what does or does not happen, we have the word on that. Perhaps you've experienced that in one form or another, those power plays. The remedy. The remedy. Seek to become servants like Christ was a servant. Servants of those who have weak faith. And in particular, servants of those who have no faith. Another one. Personal preferences. I like organ, especially a pipe organ. You know, those big pipes can just rumble through your soul. I like praise music and drums and guitars, especially the bass guitar. MIDI keyboard can provide an orchestra, live music. Well, what about recorded music that I can sing a solo to? All that distract. Remedy. A remedy. put the needs of the lost and broken before your preferences. What speaks the truth to kindle faith in their hearts? Also ask, what is the theology of the words of the hymn being sung? And what is the theology of the words of the praise song being sung? Do they teach the faith? The remedy for all of this, because you could go on and finding other suggestions, but the remedy for all of this is to plant first and foremost in your heart, this place is the Father's house. Really let that sink into your heart. This place is the Father's. This is the Father's house. Jesus Christ was crucified and risen for our redemption. This place is the Father's house where we hear that good news of Jesus Christ. We gather here to worship God. We come together as repentant sinners to confess our sins. We come together to hear the Word of God. We come with faith to have our hearts transformed by His Word and by His grace. We come here to encounter God. Yes, we come here to the Father's house to encounter the living God. Holiness, righteousness, power, dominion, compassion, mercy, forgiveness, redemption, faith, hope, love. This is the Father's house. This is our Father's house. Amen and amen.